reluctance. Desire to reconcile us back to yourself. For it is written in the Bible that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And to know, dear God, that you tore up the middle wall of partition, you slew the enmity, you restored the fellowship and favor back to man, you brought us back into oneness, making one, thereby making peace. When we see, Father, what it costs you, and how much you desire to give it so freely unto us, Lord, we realize truly, as the scripture says, we are not our own, but we are bought with a price. And so, Lord, as we draw nigh in your presence tonight, our hearts filled with gratitude, filled with thanksgiving, realizing, dear God, you saved us for a purpose, Father. Send back your Holy Spirit to clean us, to quicken us, to the great program of God for this hour, to give us a part in the fulfilling of your word, to take us, dear God, who were once darkness, but now to become the light, even the light of the world, the salt of the earth. Lord, we can shine forth your goodness. We can give a witness in this generation that we live in. And seeing, dear God, that this is such a great and worthy purpose, for which you have saved us, for which you have raised us up out of sin, for which you have clothed us with your Holy Spirit. Lord God, we might become co-workers with you in this hour. We pray, Father, as we gather in your presence tonight, and you will deal with us in such grace, and you will endure us with such understanding, that truly, O God, we'll be equipped, we'll be fortified, we'll be enlightened, we'll be inspired to know how to carry out this great purpose. Seeing, dear God, that this service is designated tonight, Lord, a focus around the parents with teenage children, the challenges, Lord, dealing with them, Father, who is at the transition of life. Lord, we pray that you would help us, seeing that there's a great need, Lord, in these areas. And seeing, O God, the great heritage that you have committed unto us. That by and through us you even desire to pass on to them. Dear God, that they can live with this influence before them. They can be molded and be raised up and be established in the truth. And that we can exert such a godly influence round about them. And have such a fruitful relationship with them. Dear God, your great Holy Spirit, even your promise that if we believe, it will come even to our children, even as many as the Lord our God shall call, because we believe we and our household shall be saved. Make these things clear to us, Father. We might not be an ignorant people, but a people with understanding. A people, dear God, that can grasp the mystery of God and the workings of your Holy Spirit in bringing these things to pass. Bless us as a church. A church that you have raised up, Lord, and you desire to use as an influence to the fulfilling of your word for this hour. Strengthen us, Lord. Inspire us and motivate us. We'll no longer, Lord, just be shallow in our experience. But Lord, you could lead us on to deeper depths. And your life could so fill us, Lord, to such a measure that every move that we make will reflect you. And truly, O God, our children will not just be obeying us as parents, but Lord, they'll be touched by your Spirit that lives in us and moves to us. Grant it, O God, that you can become visible, Lord, among your people. And you can shine your light to such an intensity to your people. And you can give such a witness as you have expressed in your word and so desire to do in this hour. We realize that's a great responsibility, Father. And believe in, O God, that we are born for this. Lord, we come tonight. We might sit in your presence. And you might give us this holy wisdom, Lord. You might develop this skill within us. We might know how to work with your word. Grant it, Father. And you, the great parent, can express yourself in and through us. Who you desire and design to make a reflection of you. Grant, Lord, we pray, as we commit this entire service into your hands and every family represented here, may you get honor and glory, may you lead and direct us in all things, for we pray and we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, we should bless you. Certainly appreciate being in his presence tonight. I'd like to invite your attention to 1 Kings chapter 22. Certainly appreciate the effort you made to be here this evening and even come up in time. That is very nice. Certainly helps the service, and appreciate the musicians even coming to give us a little hand, and that we can at least continue and have everything be run as a service should, so we can get the full benefit out of it. And we pray that God will help us, you know, sometimes to switch over into these type of services is always, you need the grace of God to help you, because you preach along one line and then there's needs that you're trying to minister to, and you have to switch over in another line of the Spirit and the Word. And we just so desire that God will help us, because we are certainly designed to help the church, and we believe that that will be profitable for us as an assembly. God will help us as families, and we as families that make up the assembly will even become a more mature and better established church for the glory of God. I'd like to read from verse 51, 1 Kings 22. This bigger than the power of parental influence. 1 Kings 22, verse 51. Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel in Samaria, in the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, and reigned 2 years over Israel. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of his father, and in the way of his mother, and the way of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. For he served Baal and worshipped him, and provoked to anger the Lord God of Israel, according to all that his father had done. May the Lord bless you. Know you may have a seat. The power of parental influence. Here is a very fitting example of the power of that influence, because in describing the acts of this young man, the Holy Spirit is very careful to show us it came from the influence of his father and mother upon his life. And right away it tells us that parents can have an influence upon the children. They are the progenitors of the children. The children are the offspring. They come from the, as a product of the union between the parents. And I am sort of trying to take these services as I see the need in the local assembly and the things that we know our children face and have to face as long as they will have to go to school and be exposed to the world and go out in places and get a job and work, and knowing that their home is the place of refuge for them, that whether from school or home, school or work, home is where they can find an escape from the world that they have to face. And sometimes, you know, parents, which we are parents, and I ask this service today to be basically for the parents who have teenage children, because to have it in general, a lot of what we may want to say may not directly bear any meaning for those who do not have teenage children. If you have one child, then that means you only have to raise a teenager once. If you have two children, you have to raise teenagers twice. If you have three, depends on the age of your children, it shows how much you can learn by experience and need to know, especially with the changing times the children live in. We live in a time where it's different to when we were teenagers. Our children are exposed to things that we have never been exposed to at their teenage, at our teenage. And so sometimes when we talk of being a good parent, many times a person express their love and their affection for the children. I love my children. So I sacrifice my children. I work overtime. I give my children everything that they have need of. My children never could say that they went hungry one day or had clothes in the bath. And sometimes we can feel satisfied that we have done what a parent should do. And that is the least a parent can really do. In the eyes of what God consider to be a parent is something far more than providing food and clothing and shelter as a means of love for the children. Because when we look at the scripture, there are many things that their parent life was designed to be an example to the children in, more than just providing for them. People provide for their dogs and their cats, and they have animals, and they mind chickens. They wouldn't let the chickens starve, they wouldn't let the dogs starve. And so as a means of providing food, as sustenance and nourishment for someone or something that is dependent upon you, it would cost money today. Even dog food costs money. Even to carry a dog to the vet costs money. And so if the dog is to provide faithful service as a protector of the home, as a burglar alarm, to bark when peace is going to come, or to try to give some form of protection to the family as a first line of defense, well, obviously we expect that from the dog. Sure, you have to provide some means that the dog can do that service that you are looking for the dog to do. And because the dog in a form is really working while you're sleeping, he has to be up. And anything he sees, he needs to bark. And if you don't have no aggression, the thief just walk in and he begin to walk and steal and welcome the thief, then you're feeding the dog for nothing. And so it's an investment. It's an investment in the dog. By what you invest in the dog, you expect a certain service and out of the dog afterwards. Maybe you don't analyze it down to that. Maybe you take it for granted, you do it, your mother raised dog, your grandfather raised dog, you raised dog too, so it's just a matter of raising dog, somebody keep coming, and you don't think of it. But today, people have a motor car, and they don't service that car, they don't, get an underwash or engine wash, or take it to a service and the mechanic to check it up ever so often, and, keep it in good running condition, and buy parts when it's needed, then you wouldn't get this service out of the car. After all, it falls apart upon you. You neglect to take care of it, it's going to fall apart. You put an investment into it. And you, before you buy it, it wasn't just a luxury. You had transport in mind. It wasn't just the neighbors to see you own a car, so you put it in the garage and leave it there and don't use it. I don't believe nobody buy it for cosmetic purposes. So really and truly, it's an investment. And if you don't get that type of service out of the car, it falls apart after a couple of months. And you think you paid significant money for it, you would feel cheated. You would feel robbed. You could even get angry. You could even be resentful that you were conned into putting money into something that was worthless. And then especially if you have to work hard for that money. If you have to save that money. If you have to take a loan and jeopardize your financial status. And then the car don't seem to perform and you don't seem to get the benefit from the vehicle. You can feel very, very bad. And when you think of that, these things are an investment. Well, the same with children. And children is so much far higher than that. Because when God established the first union in the Garden of Eden, he didn't tell Adam just, go and mine the animals or try to get some transport. It was for the purpose of multiplying and bringing forth after his kind. To replenish the earth, to raise a family. And we don't believe that Adam was an old man. We would believe that he and Eve would have been about 20 years or 18 years, something like that, because that is what the perfection of youth that God made them in, that we are to be restored back to back in the Eden. So they were young people. And God took them at this stage of their life where you may consider it most difficult today, man in a fallen condition, to raise children, because that's the time when they are looking for identity. They are trying to discover their own identity. And I think God had many things that he would share and reveal to Adam, even preparatory to him having a wife. I don't think that nobody is going to want somebody to get into a relationship with the opposite sex without preparing for it. If you do it as a good parent, how much more God? If you see that as necessary, how much more God? Because it had to have some, whether it was in the form of revelation, whether it was in the form of inspiration God gave Adam just to observe the animals mating, compatibility and these things, it would still have to be God to draw his attention and to teach him through observation and to analyze what he was seeing and interpret what it meant to him. And then that will stimulate him to desire to have even a closer and a more intimate form of fellowship. That he too would desire me. Well, when God talked about children, well, where would they learn to raise children? Could a parent, could you think of yourself having children and they're going to be, they're not even prepared for marriage, and you telling them, you push them into marriage, and then you push them to childbearing and child raising, and they don't, you have never even discussed the matter of and the responsibility of raising children? I don't think, as a saint thinking person, none of us would even think that we would do that. Well, how much more God, who is perfect and infinite in his wisdom? So God made man, and in making man he revealed himself as a father. And just the fact of making man and having an offspring, he let part of himself be made known. He let part of his intentions be made known. And then telling man to multiply and replenish, he further let more of his intentions be made known. And why is that so important? Because that is the way God unfolded the first marriage and the first home and the first family. Anytime you want truth or to know truth of anything, you have to find the first way God did, first time God did it. You can never know the truth of something if you don't find the first time God did it.
Time God did it, the perfect way it could be done. You have to do that way every time. And anytime you have that confidence you're going to get the right result, you have to know the first way and work with that way. So you don't go seeking somebody somewhere else, you go seeking the first way. And then you, because you know that of God, and because you know the word of God is the revelation of God, that in the word of God he makes himself known by unfolding his word. So because we know that of him, if we want to know something about how he'll do something, we look in his word to find it. And when he finds in his word, he said, that's the way it should be. How do we know the way for sins to be covered is by blood and not by fig leaf? How do we know that? We see in the Bible God did the first time. First time when they sin, we see what God did. And that's why it has to be blood every time. Is that right? So it's the same way with these things. And you know, recently in the schools when they even had the paper, there's a big national list recently right here of sex games in primary schools. Now, this, you may, some of you may not have children in primary school, and you can casually listen and say, thank God I don't have children in primary school, I don't consider me. That is foolish thinking for a believer. We live in a society. We are part of a nation. We are part of an age that have deteriorated into this condition. The reason we're in the rapture is because of these conditions. That the God has to bring judgment, and the rapture is the escape from this judgment that is coming. So even these things is a sign to us of the moral corruption. Because in both things, he says the moral is rotten, the politics is rotten, religion is rotten. That's why we know there's a new world coming, because the seed must rot to bring forth new life. If the old world rot and die, there can't be a new one, because God will not have two at the same time. So that's why we look at these things as a Christian, enlightening this message, one who is responsible, you can assess things, you can look at things, you can evaluate things. As parents, we become leaders. We have brought forth children into the world. We have children dependent on us for food, for clothing, for guidance, for leadership. We have to know how to solve problems. We have to exhibit to them how to handle crisis, all these things. We have to teach them what decency is, the right way to approach it. We are responsible for these things. We cannot disassociate ourselves like a single man and a single woman and say, as an individual thing, I'm a life to live. No. They're under your roof, you respond for them. You put them off before legitimately they come to this maturity where they are able to cope with things on an individual level. Then you have failed because you couldn't even last. They've been raised to maturity before they can go the right way. And the right way to lead you home is through marriage. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife. God have a way for those things. And so when we look in the world and we see these things, many a times, like many of you, some may have problems in the marriage. You get wives and husbands disagreeing. Your wives and husbands fall apart. They criticize one another more than they compliment each other. You have sometimes a wife feels neglected, a husband feels neglected. And you experience this in your home. Some of you may have unsaved mates, husband or wife, and then you know they're living unfaithful, and you have to put up with that. And then some of you, your marriage get cold and broken down, and now you find yourself under temptation. Maybe I don't know. The thing is, but the word, the message, the hour that is given to us, is designed to give us power to overcome all these things. If you have failed to walk in these things, you are not cooperating with the word as you should. And if you are interested in finding how to strengthen your weak places and to get the word, the antidote, the balm for healing and strengthening the places where you're weak, then you become delinquent in that you see yourself dying, or you see yourself, your home falling apart. And here is the message with the answer to every situation you need in life's journey. Because that's what the message is. The message has the answer to every situation in life's journey. Even in the world to come. The message is not about denomination forward to come up. That is a carnal stage of the message where we can stay and just fight people and different things. But the message is to show us how to become like God again. How to become the word that we fell from again. How to come back into oneness and fellowship with God again. How to live in dominion again. That's the message. Is that right? That's the message. So that means the message has. The message makes God accessible to us. The message puts God within reach to us. Because this message is God's provided way for this day. The message has everything to deal with a husband-wife relationship, because this message is the marriage of the Lamb. The message has everything it takes to raise the children, because this message is the mystery of the house of God, the family of God. It's not both. Better been church and this, better church and that. We don't even look at that. That's carnality. But I'm saying, I come to lead the church to deeper thoughts and higher objectives. That's why I want to lead you. That's why I want to stir your heart and mind. I want to see your problem. You don't invade it, you don't hide it, you don't get over sensitive about it. You look at it and you begin to seek God for the word to deal with it. And you begin to work with the word and overcome it. I think that's the approach. I think that's what a believer needs. I think he's not passing the buck and throwing the blame on one another. I think he's not trying to the back of the day, well, so. And then if they took 18 years to grow, and we took 18 years to try to raise them, and those 18 years, we look back and see, we were not exhibiting full life, full Christian life. If we were making as much of mistakes as them, but when they were from 1 to 14, we were not under their scrutiny. You know what I'm saying? When your children is about 1 to 14, they don't scrutinize you so much. You know? They're taken up in their own little world. The boy wants to run down the street, they get on the play with dolls, they want to be around you. But when they come to age and they want certain things in life or attracted to certain things, now when you say no or you do something different, now they say, but you just said that, but you're not doing this. And you're telling me that, but look what you're doing. Now you come under the scrutiny. Now they get to a witness. You really live in the world. And you tell them, read the word and go to church in here. And they obey you and come to church in here, waiting for here. they're going to hear things and they're going to know things even to define you out of more clearly. So this is about running the church, you can't kind of run them to God. You tell them to get more enlightened, to get a better grasp of the word, and to check you out a little better. And then when they're going to speak the word to you, and you start to evade, and you can't submit to the word, how the child will get, I'm the mother of the child, I'm the father of the issue. Then now you found yourself fighting the very word that come out of the mother of the children that you sent them to learn. You see? Now, raising, bearing children is one, and raising them is another. We all know that. We went to a couple of meetings, now we, on a certain emphasis here, is like, dealing with children that is not yet even come to puberty, adolescence, small. Drop them into kindergarten school, leave them bye-bye, they want to cry, you're going to shoot you. They're smart. You learn to manipulate them. Give them a toy, you learn to divert their attention and put in something else. And so your problems don't even last more than 2 seconds. You become a master of diversion, detour, you know. And when it comes to the place where they get a little bigger, if you try to use those tactics in them, it could be embarrassing. Because now they don't need to be detoured now, now they need to be sit down with and talk with. And the thing is, sometimes when you look at down the food channel and the clothes channel and the home channel, and we kind of make that like we make the biggest sacrifice in the world for them. You know what it cost me to buy school books for you this year? Or we should be grateful. And then we sort of use things in a way to let them see that they should not bring up that point. You shouldn't bring it up as an issue. And that's the way we try to solve things. That is not dealing with the issue. That is taking an irrelevant point and trying to use it to get them to keep quiet so that the, what is an issue and affecting them is not being brought to the priest to discuss with them. The power of parental influence. When I read, you know, about these 6 games in primary schools and then the distribution of condoms in junior secondary schools and senior secondary schools, and this is people with degrees. This is people who's in charge of bodies to assess the situation and make recommendations to contain, to control, to alleviate the problems, to bring solution to things that is affecting maybe the schools or the youths of the nation, and the people who have become qualified and certified in these fields, these are the recommendations. This is the professional opinion. This is the educated opinion. When the policy education is the devil, you can see it right here. There's all the statistics of AIDS even rising among young people, drugs in school. Parents may see a child go down the by the corner with a bunch of bad boys or bad girls, and they buy maybe a pub, and they're kind of dancing and they're doing this stuff, and they lambast the child in bad company, yet they send them to school. And in school have the same drugs selling there, in school have the same pornography books there and everything, but in their mind it's cool. What I'm saying is, understand me clear. I'm trying to say parents need to be more aware that when you get to school and think that you put your hand, you got a teacher watching for your child to do your job for you, so you're out of frightened. I'm saying that's an unconscious parent. That's a parent who have failed to understand the times and see what the classroom and the schools have been deteriorated into. That in those classes, your students get pregnant. In those classes, it has lesbians inside of you. And sometimes the children is not even taught or know what to look for, how to deal with it. They are even unprepared to deal with that influence or that pressure, because we are Christian parents. We are holy people. And we live in a plastic world. And our children will never get influenced by anybody to go to church. That's an unconscious parent. That's an unconscious parent. And this is where it affects. The blame, the responsibility falls away. Because somebody gets in a problem. So the problem becomes the child problem, or the problem is partly, and even a great part, the parent problem. When you go to someone, maybe show a parent what it should be, they say, you know, I sacrificed for that child, you know, I got $2 school books last year, you know, I went through, I didn't want my father, and borrowed this, and you know, something so, and then they talk back, and that is not the issue. And when people's minds are not developed to know what the issue is, the issue is they needed a preparation, they needed a certain fellowship, they needed something to be strengthened in them so that there will be bonds of loyalty. So when they stand out there, they feel they have an allegiance to a family, to a cause, to a teaching, to an upbringing, to a relationship in the home, and this is a betrayal to that. And that is so strong within them that they will not betray this for that. Amen. No preacher could do that in church for you, just by preaching a service in a church. These kind of things have to come within the home. These things have to come where you can motivate, you can inspire, you can influence. You know the strength of your influence. And when you see the difficulty to discuss and communicate and define things, and those especially things that will affect your child, you want to say, God, help me in them places. Like I can't communicate with my child. Like I ask other people to talk to my child for me. That shouldn't be Lord. So there might be certain people can be an influence. But I want to raise my child for me. I want to raise my child. I want my child to come first to me with the problem. I don't want to keep putting them to somebody else, and when they start to go to that person, and that person becomes the influence. I will provide the food and the clothes, that person will provide all the teaching, all the leadership, all the influence, all the fellowship. You don't want that. And these are places in your life you want to look and see, how equipped am I? How capable am I? What type of results am I getting? What type and quality, and what is the strength of the influence that I exert upon those that are around me and connected to me? Your measure of influence is your measure of revelation. You can't influence somebody more than this can be a revelation. It has time, you know it for you first. You start off knowing it for you. You start off knowing the message for you. You want to know it because you want to be saved by it. But after a while, God has taken what you know and made it doesn't just be for you, it could save others also. What did Paul tell Timothy? Give yourself wholly to the form of doctrine. You will not save yourself alone. You will save others also. After a while, you can take the same thing that worked for you and then share with someone else and work together. Here, as we look at these things, because I remember some years ago, I had some services up on the hill. with parents and to the children as well. And I had the parents and the children, because there's more for the children, but since it was something being introduced in the church, I had some of the parents who wanted to be around so that they could be get to see what was being communicated, and it could be an exposure and something that could be of edification to the parents themselves, that they would be better able to help deal with some of the things the children deal with. There are different kinds of drugs in school. There are certain type of behavioral habit, behavioral attitudes that reflect on children when they influence these things. There are signs when children are getting under the influence of not just drugs but of wrong relationships and these things. When they are developing interests that might be detrimental for them. And sometimes an unobservant parent can't even read those signs. And the problem becomes very difficult to deal with, because sometimes they try to deal with it when the case is too far gone. And then sometimes their approach and their attitude and their manner, they get so vexed. My child. What they really mean, my pride. Because it's more their image is what is causing them to feel hurt, than more the child needs their help. The first thing is like, you know what someone's going to say? And especially that one or two people they feel competed with or looking down at them, and they know those people can give a little bit to their mouth, and they feel like they're going to be put in a vulnerable position now for things that they pointed at them, where they could even get more incensed. Some people leave churches for that. You know what I'm saying? It just shows how little people understand, and how many times in these things is where you gauge the maturity of people. How mature is a person? A mature person can deal with problems. A mature person, when you do that problem, do not get cracked up by the problem. Don't get cracked up from how can you deal with it to get the person who really in the problem out of the problem. If a doctor would say that we can jump into a cancer or a tumor inside a person or something, and he says, whoo, you know, what would be left for the person who has the tumor inside? And this is where many times, you know, you see, that is why when we live our lives on a sort of shallow level, we fail to make the contribution that God calls us in this message. And give us the portion of the word in this age, which was to be our source of influence. And if we can be influenced by God, and then that influence of God influence someone else, think of how strong an influence that is. Well, here was a man who lived in the age when the prophet of God had come. Elijah came, a prophet. He was a specially designed man raised up by God to turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the fathers. He came at the evening sacrifice. He repaired the altar. He called the people out of the Jezebel system. He put them there. He laid the word. He put them back to all the principles that they had gotten away from, that the Exodus prophet Moses had delivered to the people. That's what we receive in this age. We receive a message to take us back to the very doctrine that the Apostle Paul went up in the pillar of fire, came back out, established as the Word of God, and the church that fell away from the Catholicism and denominationalism. We have had a message to call us out of that and bring us back to all these very principles. And here in that time, we see Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, and Ahab was one man who did not adhere to that influence and example that God gave. And we know he was married to Jezebel. And then when he died, his son came and reigned in his stead. And the Bible says he walked in the way of his father, and walked in the way of his mother, and in the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, for he served Baal and worshipped and provoked to anger the Lord of Israel according to all that his father had done. All he did is all that his father did. He walked in the way of his father. He walked in the way of his mother. Like I tell you, when this man's life is being analyzed and documented, and he's considered, if he's been categorized A, B, C, D, E from 1 to 10, and put in a scale, and to fit in somewhere, whether he had a good life, whether he had a bad life, whether he had a fruitful life, whether he had a godly life, whether he had an ungodly life, and where was the strongest influence that governed behavior, that shaped his values, that motivated him. It showed it came from his father and his mother. Because that is where a child's influence ought to come from. But because his father and mother influence wasn't from the word of God that God restored back, then they could only influence with what influenced them. You catching that good? You sure you're getting it? Let me tell you what I have in my mind. You can know about this word. Ahab didn't. Elijah was not known to Ahab, you know. The teaching that Elijah taught was not known to Ahab, you know. He always lived a life. He knew the word of God. But in his personality, he's a compromiser. The way he knew it didn't change him. So he really didn't have a strict adherence to the word. And what influence he exerted is what influenced his son. And since the mother was an unbelieving woman, and she had rebellion against anything that corrected her, then that influence about you. And all the way he walked, the Bible says, he walked under that influence. I want to read something to you. How did the world have been falling apart? Report. You see, one of the great lessons of our day-to-day in America and the rest of the world is godly parents to set an influence upon the children. Now remember, we are taking an effort here to define this influence. We don't just want to say influence. We don't just want to make influence mean from A to Z. We don't want to call from A to F influence. There are a lot of other things that must be in it to be the influence. And that's what I'm saying. Parental influence is not about just about buying food, buying clothes, and on that road. That is what we give out to the substance we earn. To give up yourself and your time and do anything to the world of your children, and to be observant about them. And then when they reach crises in life, they have a privilege to have had a parent who had been their age at one time. So if they are 16 years, they know my daddy and mommy were 16 years one time. And they will know how vulnerable it is for a 16-year-old person going through maybe changes in life, attracted to certain things, vulnerable to certain type of influences, and what type of attitude and relationship that should be developed here, and how that parent's skill can keep the child fortified and motivated not to give up and to fall apart, but to stand with the conviction and even overcome, to know that you have the support. You know something? We get motivated through the word many a time. You expect it to evolve. You expect it to change. To see the greatness of the hour. To get wrapped in faith. But you know, the same wrapped in faith, the same tilt-pole faith, that is being developed and growing in you. And these are the experiences that are necessary to grow that. You know, this is the course of your journey onto that. And this is the environment, and these are the circumstances that you are meeting. You're still going to rapture, you're still going to rapture in faith, but it's growing and being developed through these trials and experiences. But all these things is not by chance. But you know what's happened? The false concept of sin, which we mean the attributes of sin and not sin on belief. The false concept of sin is to distance yourself. The reason we have the word is that the word can redeem, the word can intercede, the word can strengthen. The reason you have faith is that you have faith to give virtue, that you have a revelation. The reason you have knowledge. Knowledge is to know the situation the child is in, what he's faced with. The child actually understanding. The child is a scripture from the word to deal with that, or to read into that experience how detrimental it is, how dangerous it is, and what type of approach they approach that with. The child has the discernment. And this is where you, having knowledge of the word, knows when you have fellowship on that. You don't have blasting on that sometimes. You say, because the motive is to help, is like, when we go in the market Saturday, I will use the opportunity. Or when you quit our time, we can be doing something together, and I will use the opportunity to share some of these things. Because you want to help. It ain't like, it's not like you want to do something for them to come home. I think what is happening sometimes, because of not proper analysis, if you don't ever read into a situation correctly, and you can never read correctly unless it's from the word, then you can never approach it correctly because you're not seeing it correctly. You can't deal with it correctly. And I think that sometimes, that's why the Bible says, parents don't provoke your children. Somebody can give an illustration. If I say, give somebody, a parent, rise up here tonight and give me an illustration of parents don't provoke your children. Say, well, we asked the child a question the other day, and the child can answer, and I say, you idiot, you dunderhead, you see, you have no sense. Push my, see that timer away, and then that person might be categorized as an abusive parent. But maybe if the child wasn't taught that, it could know that. And then that's a form of discrimination and prejudice against the child, by making the child feel bad about something that requires academic learning that the child wasn't instructed in that area. If a man comes and asks about how a transmission works and explains to me, and I can say, you're a fool, you know what? You say, you know something? I say, but I might be a fool as far as mechanics is concerned, because I know mechanics. So then if you call me a fool for that, you judge me wrong for me. You know what I'm saying? Maybe I failed to meet your expectations, but you failed to correctly categorize me or analyze my situation. And then when you reacted, you were giving vent to rage and anger that you can't control. And I become the brunt of your attack. So the thing is, influence. Unconsciously, today's psychologists and psychoanalysts and these is realizing when you do that, you're actually teaching a child, doing it, putting them in a class system with a blackboard, how to deal with the situation when they meet it. So anybody that fails to meet the expectation, they become insulted. And when they get abused, anytime they meet that kind of situation, you realize that it's by abusing. And where did you get it from? You taught them. And so the thing is, he's saying here, one of the great lessons of our day to day in America and the rest of the world, critically, is godly parents strong influence upon the children. The parents of this day got written the principles of this scripture. Are there principles in this scripture of how godly parents can exert godly influence? Because remember, how was Adam and Eve God teenage children? The first family to be raised. God used to come down to them every cool evening. He used to walk with them, he used to talk to them. He used to worship God. See, God used to reveal things in the Bible to them, both in nature, in the heavens. Prophecy after God talked them to sleep, kissed them, put them down their throat to see them tomorrow, and then next evening they're waiting again for them to come. There's a parent-children relationship based on love and fellowship. And then when his children fell, what was the problem with their children? Sex. Today, it is. And right there, when he gets in trouble, then what God do? God went out to redeem them from it. And the way he handled crisis in his family, the way he handled disobedience in his family, the way he handled those things the first time here, you saw how he handled it. He had to correct them, and yet he had to deal with the sin. He put them out, put these things, but he dealt with them in grace too. It wasn't all abuse. It wasn't trying to distance himself from them. He had to be firm and say, you can't eat from the tree no more, and put them out of the garden. But not until after he forgave them, covered their sin, clothed them, and put them now to serve in another capacity. With a promise of redemption. It wasn't little babies who were doing it. It wasn't little boys who were around the garden who were doing it. It was a young man and a young woman who were doing it. And that is a picture of family life in the scripture. That's what opens it. And here we in the last days going back to that age. And here we as a church have to stand the same test where the church fell and overcoming these things. And here we have to be, in order to overcome, we have to be faced with the same kind of circumstances, the same kind of situations. And here we have to be like God. Because the mystery of godliness, to reflect God, to be in His image again. So we must be able to have a life that can influence, that can draw, that can reconcile, that can save, that can teach, that can strengthen, that can motivate, that can influence, that can leave an effect upon them. Even though they were corrected and disciplined, they knew towards love. They did not suffer and not knowing what they were suffering for. Hast thou eaten? Because thou hast done this. The chastisement came, the discipline came with the amendment in mind, and then the punishment came in the places where the crime was committed, and then they knew what the problem was, where they transgressed, and they knew what the correction was for. Because God was showing firmly, in love, put the amendment in mind, how should be. That was the parental influence upon him. Adam didn't backslide and thank the serve God again like God all to know. He still served God. He was accepted to serve God. After they got the lines, come Jared and Enoch and Noah and all them out of God's lines. And that's why we cannot just be in the message and not growing in a fuller understanding of our responsibility as parents and the measure we need to possess to function and operate and deal with, because he makes children problems doesn't be up, they need a pamper change. Or they need a little bath or something, or they need a hair comb. A parent will get frustrated with a child, maybe they're trying to potty train and can't get potty trained. Or a child went in the bed and they just better put the child went in the bed. But when the child got a little bigger and become a young man and a young woman, it's not so much about wet in bed now. It's not so much about it is on a different level. And maybe the parent might not have skill to a child sucking finger, say, you know what I do? A sister tell me, take gum aloes and rub it. You take gum aloes and put inside mouth. Hey, after a while the child suck the sucking finger. Say, yeah boy, I will help my child, deliver my child, I save my child from a condition. The child is repaired. This is what you have to do. You know what in that? A week over a certain time, and then take him to USA. It's hard to get up, you know. But so you want that child, you know, get wetter. After the bath, the child in it. Because the child has to go and spend some time somewhere and wet down people bed or something or the other, I will feel some balance. So I make that sacrifice to get my busy. But when the child gets no that thing, how much you want to keep developing, or where do you think the development is? Or have you kept on growing in the role of parenthood as they kept on growing? Because every time the child comes and the son comes and he's married and has children, and he said, Dad, I want to draw from your advice and your welcome, wisdom, that you know you've been a great father to me. Help me in life. I remember as a little boy, you know, I had problems. I've been discouraged. Come and trying to learn to ride on a bicycle. I fall so much time. But had a way to motivate me. You, when I thought I couldn't do it, you instilled me the courage and the motivation. You dealt with me. You supported me. I felt that, you know, that I could have done it for you. And I learned to ride on a bike and so on. When I was, you know, in classes and I began to lose my focus and begin to get influence and I was getting to become a sport and you kind of show me I should set my priorities right and such and such and such. That was a real blessing to me and kind of helped me through. But now I want to buy a piece of land and a house for my family, so and so and so. Dad, what decision do you make? I have this option. Parenting has never stopped. It has never stopped. That's why if you look at the jump to the food and clothes and shelter channel, you're letting the devil paralyze your vision, hold you in a shallow realm of experience, give you a false sense of self-justification, paralyze your own faith from being developed, blind you from the reason and purpose of God by giving you experiences in your own life to train you and mature you. And then, even an opportunity to even display the Christ that has matured you and developed you. And so, in the scripture, when you see the strength of influence, sometimes a person can have very strong, powerful, positive influence and very strong, powerful, negative influence. Sometimes you could, I'm sure as parents experience that, you You give birth to children. You grow them up. You sacrifice for them. You try to do the best. You make yourself do it out many times because of your sacrificial love for your children. Keep them happy. You suffer pain and hardship and neglect when you were small. You have to be parents who walk in the light of the word of your age. And some of them never taught you certain values. But you come under the message, God saved you, God opened your understanding. You get a grasp of the mystery of parenthood. You understand in part. You want to be a real father and a real mother for your children. And while you're raising your child don't haven't seen the court and understood how much you sacrifice for them, how much you love them. And then next thing it turns around, somebody's influence who never not one day sacrificed for them. Who just talking in the air, talking in the air, talking in some friend they develop in school, some friend they develop in the neighbor, some other person. And before you know it, that person's influence seems to be at that stage of your child's life stronger than your influence when your child grew up under you all your years. And then you try to wean the child from certain things, or try to break that thing, or try to show it. And it seems like it is so deep in the child almost that you are competing with another power for the influence of your very own child, which should come naturally. A child grew up under you all years. And then you try to wean the child from certain things or try to break that thing, or try to show it. And it seems like it is so deep in the child almost that you are competing with another power for the influence of your very own child, which should come naturally. And then you realize it is not just physical, it is spiritual too. Am I making sense to you? You understand me? I've been in the church and I was seeing some young people coming up with certain things. Some of them in some of the homes that they're coming from in the assembly. And it's like, how on earth they're not working, they have no money to buy them things for themselves, they're still under their parents' jurisdiction. How come they're coming up in that? You mean the parents and a child were all there? You mean that child has influenced that parent to take a stand against the example that is preached to them and set before them in the church? You know, when you do that, you strengthen something, because they can say, my mother and father can be like, mother, we will tell me.
Right.
You can say what you want of this. And then you sit down there, and is your money spending? And then you don't seem to have the authority, and then you realize, my influence is weakened. What I used to do on this child to make it listen, it doesn't listen to that no more. Now, if my methods are outdated, or my methods was useful for a child of a younger age, then I have a deficiency that I become an outlet to weaken the church that I am part of, a church that Jesus Christ raised up. I want you to think of it along these lines too. And the answer for that is not, if the word speak, you say the amen, and you're kind of amen in it, the word of sanction your child, like if you side with the word against that evil, when sometimes it's not really an evil in the sense of an evil, because the child is doing good, the child wants to be evil, but you have been unsuccessful in your approach,
And with the opportunity we receive, you need more high power tools to do the job. And to see your own weakness, and to see your influence diminishing. Under His word we have to grow. Under His word we have to get certain insight. Under His word we have to find ways. It will, solutions don't come overnight, the problems. And sometimes where we have to go to find the solutions. Look at me, I'm trying to, what do you think I'm trying to have all the different kind of services for? I can use the next method. I can become a dictator in this church and blast everybody from the desk who may do something that I conceive to be wrong, and put a self-righteous attitude and make some people who don't do that visible sin to feel more righteous than the one who do invisible. But the guy is in the realm of clothes. Then what about when he started getting the realm of spirit now? And somebody have a bad attitude. That was just as bad as a short dress. One fault could show itself in the visible realm every time they walk with the short dress. Next one will show up every time they have a trial. They blow the temper. Oh, they should have no control over the tongue. Oh, they get bitten and they want revenge. And they should kind of spirit they have in the all the time singing and praising God too. But since that is not a solution, then we have to find a way to get to the root of the thing. If that child wants to serve God but don't know the way, they have to be taught the way. And if the way, the sacrifice I'm willing to make is to say, just give instructions, do this, don't do this, do this, don't do this, I don't want to hear this, I don't want to hear this, I don't want to do this. Well, they may not do it in front of me, and I may say, problem solved. But as I turn my back when they're outside the house, same thing go on. So all what happened, no, I am being fooled. Thinking I solve a problem, I ain't solve a problem. They just develop a way to fool me. And my outdated method serves to make a hypocrite out of them. You understand me? So now, how much now I am willing now not to give up my substance to buy food or buy clothes or pay rent or buy a house, is how much I am willing to give up myself to God and to them. And how much I am willing to even restructure even my life, my own priorities. I know it is better for me to work overnight and use up all that time to make more money to buy a new couch or put carpet on the floor, or use that time to spend with the child when they have need of me. You understand me? I've seen a lot of parents go after worldly things that make their spirit feel better. The place more posh, it look better, it look a certain way to upgrade yourself. And while they're trying to do it, the children deteriorate. But they're thinking, they're progressing only because their mind have come under the influence of the world and the society. That society effect upon them, because their revelation wasn't strong enough to keep their eyes focused and to differentiate between what is real value and what is cosmetic. In life, you will find you have to make sacrifices for certain things. And you have to choose sometimes between, you can get money, or that's the time your child needs you. Because now you're ready to deal with them, you can't get them. They're too far gone. And the thing you have, you can't enjoy now because no use to you. Because now you have a big headache. Amen. This life, and the way God chooses to deal with us and pass us, we have to walk by faith. We can't walk this walk without faith. This life is not a preconceived life. You have to live every day by faith. You don't know what tomorrow is going to hold for you. You don't know what maybe the crisis you confront. You don't know what is the situation or what is the decision. That's why the problem is because God can tell because you choose the harder way. Because on the harder way at that place was to forsake all what was a big opportunity to keep the world here. That's why Abraham, when he had to choose, could choose the wilderness, and Lot could choose what was like opportunity. That is why people have to be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit in their life. That's why when you look at, you don't come and get settled down in a church, get that kind of church identity. Well, I didn't fellowship up there, no. Well, we church, you should see we church, and different things like we church going to heaven. And when you as an individual growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord and the life of Christ being manifested in you, not the human effort in the human spirit, the life of Christ. The token, because the token could never fall apart under pressure. Not the token. But the token make you Jesus Christ again on the earth. The token, no, this is not, I have to prove to my child I have authority over them. This is not that kind of situation. This is not to prove to my child I'm different. You have to know these situations. The world is not all judge, the world is savior too. The word is not all savior and judge, the word is counselor too. The word is leader and guide. And that us in understanding our experience and what we gain from our relationship with God, knowing how to use it back. You just work and you get a salary, you get money. And then you have a wisdom that God gives you how to spend your money and use your money to get the full advantage of what your money can bring to you. But the same when your spiritual experiences and your gold tried in the fire to make you spiritually rich. Then you'll be able to use that riches there to your own benefit to help your family spiritually, the same way as you use the natural riches to help them naturally. But if when you think of it, it's only one way naturally, and you can't seem to not gonna let loose and work with the spiritual one, then something is wrong. Because the experiences God given you is more precious than gold that perishes. It's buying gold trying to become rich. Then without riches now, you can bring a benefit to those that are connected to you. Because Christianity is living for others. He said, the parents of this day got away from the principle of the scripture. They went more to the fashions of the world. And the churches did the same. In doing that, we let it loose. And brought the world into the church. And that's the reason we have this great day up. If I say it respectfully here before these young people, the reason we got so many hoods and so forth, and as they call it, and bad characters, too much. It is because of the home life that they were influenced by in their early days. I'm still a believer that bring up a child in the way that they should go, and when it gets old, they will not depart from it. Another one here in possession of all things. He said, the promise is yours. But if you will ever get it, you ain't going to get it easy. I'm going to tell you that. You're going to have to take it away from Satan. Satan captures your help. You have a right to say, Satan, you give it back, hand it over. I come in with the Lord, the possessor of heaven, and I'm there. Give it back. You took my child, you got them mixed up with the wrong boy, you took my boy and mixed up with the wrong girl. I claim them, that's right. I claim my children. I claim them, brother. I claim my sister. Yes, Satan, you have took them from God's house, coaxed them out there, and I'm coming after them. I claim them. You see what I'm telling you, to pull in all this rapture in faith is the things that you're going through right now? What do you think you're going to display to go to who? It will do great things for us in our midst. It was the prophet wife who gets vexed and got irreverent and get disrespectful and stomach and get a tumor, and as he's standing there with the knowledge of his position, went to God and was able to get from God to get her back from the jaws of death. And happy right, who sit down there and is willing to sacrifice and burn her heart off of the things of the world, and having respect and reverence and faith in the commission of a genuine servant of God, is identified and understood the approach that God gives there, is was able to reach across there and get a hold of something for her two unsaved children. And yet this is the part that the next people neglect and overlook. And this part that the shame and dirt and the child and this and this and they fail to work with them and they fail to have the love to reach up there and they try to control me because they maintain a certain image before other people and different things. And then other people get critical and point their finger at this one child and that one child and this one child and get carnal and abusive. And yet next day they have God come and get them to the spirit. I mean, not preaching service, forgive me, I don't want to get over here. This is more like discuss and just share some thoughts in the opening of this service to sort of show you, we as parents, them young people listening to this song, we grew up in the high places, we have to get motivated to take back what the devil take from us. We have to sort of see the places where we need to draw from God. And we have to see the areas that affect us in our environment. And we have to see what God has given to us as a possession and as an inheritance. And that Satan, who comes to steal and to kill and to destroy, who comes to eat down and devour what God has given to us. And we want to be able to draw from the Holy Spirit and to judge ourselves and to see if we have been that by the word, or if we have better rage and a better anger and irritableness and resentfulness and a pull down and a criticize and you know, how much do I compliment them, how much do I encourage them, how much do I take time and leave things aside? Have I become a workaholic? Just trying to get this and get that, or take them with these things, or can't seem that this kind of, as long as I keep this lifestyle, is not going to help. But I have to get myself in condition to deal with this is what's important to me. This is what's going to cross over on the other side. Not the house, not the car, not the money in the bank, none of these things is going to go and go in the rapture. All are going to stay here and be destroyed in the fire. How much contentment do I have that God can give me and provide me to live and use and have? Sure. But am I going to make that my God? Am I going to make that more important than my children? Am I going to do anything ham, lamb, and jam every day and see the children suffering? There they need a friend and different things here. Am I going to kind of cringe when they do something wrong and blow up and get resentful rather than be more observant to see the early signs of those things and try out know, the influences coming in there? You see somebody that sneeze. And you see a little runny nose, hey, you know you have a cold. That can become, could get so far, it can become tuberculosis. But if you could see, but the first little sign of an influence there, that they're catching a cold or something, and you can move right in and build that resistance, and put some vitamin C inside at the end, put some tonic there, get a little rest there, and strengthen it, and shake that thing off. The same thing, in a healthy condition, you can shake it off. Sure. Then the kind of influence we would want to have, that we don't get deformed. But the devil has put a lot of tricks in people's mind. Just let me close this. I haven't yet even started yet, but you know, these kind of services, you have to kind of feel your way around and depend a lot on the Lord, because it's not so much just a kind of topic service, we deal with realistic things that is in the church. I sit down here sometimes talking to young people and they're calling people, and then I could see the people's calling home, people's calling the church here, different things, different time the services coming from Guadalajara today to bring them to the children. And I learned, I say, my goodness, like, people are waiting for it. People want it. People is affected. People in their homes, in their families, it touch with these things. It's a situation people are being faced with. And people need to hear things relevant to these things, to deal with these things, to keep their mind focused, to give a word that they can work with and draw inspiration from, because they can feel motivated and inspired. Some people kind of collapse under depression, some people get frustrated, some people get among themselves and talking, gear waiting, and some people suggesting all kind of old life tables, sometimes. Sometimes they need a word that can inspire them, a word that can apply a balm to the situation, a word that can tie to that tight bolt and work with. And draw from the Holy Spirit, Lord, your word said that. And move and work with the word and see a change. And expect God to come down there and answer. Sure. Because you sometimes too, you get parents putting things on children. And sometimes they have a way, they have a concept, and they force on the child. Then the child asks somebody else, well, this person says, you know, that is that way. Next person says, that's this way. And then they realize, listen, what's going on? My mother wants me to do this, this one wants me to do that, this one wants me to do that. And then they reach a stage now, and next thing you hear, they're rebellious. Sometimes all we call rebellion is not rebellion. Because there is no motive of rebellion. If a child questions certain things, it may not be because they're resenting what the parents are saying. They are saying, what you're saying don't make sense to me. I can't see how it fits. I'm expecting you not just to tell me like a dumb brute, do that. Show me. And if I ask a question, so don't think I'm just believing you or resenting you. I'm not 10 years no more.
Amen.
When I was 5 years, they go in the bed, I go in the bed. When you say get up, I get up. When you go and change your clothes, I go and change your clothes.
Amen.
But no, I don't feel to do that. No, I'm reading books. No, I've been taught in school. No, I'm hearing the word too. No, I'm understanding things. And now I'm realizing you don't have a revelation of that. You saying that because your father taught you that. And then you bring it upon me. I would appreciate you sharing the word, you show me the wisdom in this, because you say this, but I see this way equally right. Now if you are a high strong person and you think it's rebellion, that child got slapped across the face. Or you can try to deal with that child like, who is, I just feed you, I'll give you a roof here, I'll do something for you, and you want to answer me? All the child is saying, I want to express my individuality. Because when I was a smaller age, I wasn't able to think for myself. My security was, you know, daddy said, my mommy said. But now I grow up now, I go through changes in life, my thinking process expands because God made my individual. When I reached 12, I became a conqueror of my own sin. So I can't understand my own sin. I can understand my own salvation because you can get saved for me.
Amen. Amen.
So if I think for myself now, at least help develop my thinking then by the word.
Amen.
No longer just let the dominate me and control me. And if I ask something, I'm rebellious. And I think that's what a lot of parents lose it. Because the children grow up on them and they let the children change. They let the children go through changes. And the memory is so short they forget that they went through the same thing. And then they start to provoke their own children. And then they start to tell people, they get away, well, this child, he's nice. I wish all the children like this one. Well, this one might be our leader. These might be followers.
Yes, sir.
And if he has a leader in life one day, he better know where he's going to go take people. And if you can look at the children and see differences in them and appreciate that God made them that, because God knows which sperm to stop and which egg to stop to give them but a certain characteristic, and then you take it, you become God of it, how you want it. And you want to live your life to the children now.
Amen.
Rather than help prepare the children to be successful in life. A parent's role is to help the children. That's the goal of a parent. To find their place in life and to be successful in that place. That's what the whole objective of parenthood is.
Amen.
Not for you to live your life to them. Sometimes teach them those values. It may be different. Look, John was supposed to be a priest, right? The following father, Zechariah, and they wanted him to name him according after the father. And they said, no, they carry him so. He bought back the back of us.
Yes, sir.
I remember Manoah and them could have no children. And then when the angel come and say, if this child comes for our purpose, help us to understand the purpose so we don't know how to raise the child. So we get taken up with your own self, exerting our own idea of the child, but we get the child to fit in God's place for the child. And that will make us a successful parent. Because God tells us, he said, I know Abraham. He will teach his children. to obey these things and to carry out His word. So if I can fulfill what I said concerning Abraham.
Amen.
Look at 2 Chronicles 2. Just want to read 1, 2 and close here. This. Okay, I think this is enough for us. This evening, 2 Chronicles. I wrote that down wrong. Let me see. Let me check. I think I was wrong. Yeah, 2 Chronicles 21, sorry. The way I had written on the head, I managed to play. 2 Chronicles 21. Read on verse 1. Now Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers, and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And Jehoram his son reigned in his stead. And he had brethren, the sons of Jehoshaphat, Azariah and Jehiel, and Zechariah and Azariah, and Michael and Shephatiah. All these were sons of Jehoshaphat, king of Israel. And their father gave them great gifts of silver and of gold and of precious things with 45 cities in Judah. But the kingdom gave he to Jehoram because he was the firstborn. Now when Jehoram was risen up to the kingdom of his father, he strengthened himself and slew all his brethren with the sword and also some of the princes of Israel. Now when you read things like these, it's not just an account, because all scripture is given by inspiration for learning, profitable for doctrine, instruction and righteousness. And so the scripture in recording thus far shows us something of his personality, because to do and act like that, is not ordinary. Now when you read something like that, you're supposed to think, why would he do that? Why would somebody kill all the brothers? God didn't say they attacked him or anything. He slew them. Was he insecure? Did he feel threatened? Did he have some deficiency that he felt that he wasn't really capable, or the way he dealt with anything that seemed like a competitor to him? You want to find out why a person does things like that? That's what he's put there for.
Amen.
Because it's a character. It's a trait in a person. It's a way he handled a situation. It's a situation that didn't really demand him taking that course of action. Was he manipulated? Was he easily influenced? Then if he was, how can he grow with that kind of deficiency? You get what I'm coming from?
Yes,
that's your children, my children. That's your children, my children. These my children never do that. You think Adam is going to say his son is killing a girl? I mean, well, not his son, Adam, but you think Eve is going to say she's son is going to kill a girl? You think Adam realized murder would come to the family like that right after? You think Esau and Jacob, when they look there in their own life? I mean, look at Abraham. Abraham was so careful in choosing a wife and son, because of how the man understood what God tell him. He just swear. But then what's Isaac? What's the next generation? What's Isaac? Isaac is going to watch Esau go and take an Arabian wife and take a wife from him, with no objection. Until Rebecca to say, Isaac, we think Jacob will do just so. And if the mother didn't get in there and start to kick up a fuss, he's so cool and laid back. See? And then what Jacob? What's the next generation? Then Jacob comes. Isn't Jacob particular? Reuben, he firstborn son, go and live with your own wife. And defy the father culture. And the brother Judah, who had the promise, went to the Canaanite. What I'm trying to show you is, it's all in one family. It's the family who had the promise. Amen. But I'm trying to show you, look how the things deteriorate. Until Joseph, born in Egypt, and married an Egyptian priest's daughter.
Yes, sir. Amen.
The things just kept going from worse and worse and worse and worse.
Amen.
What do you think our sons and our daughters are going to do? You think you're going to sit up? You think you're going to sit on an ivory tower and say, they ain't going to do that? Nobody can influence them? We have been reading some Guardian papers or some kind of different thing. I'm using the word of God, we can't talk so. Because remember, the seed that comes from you, you bring in forth flesh. It depends on God's representation. And inside of there, you have an influence that if you know to work with that influence, God can work through that influence. If you understand your role, if you understand the Word of God. And then if you have the Word of God for example, and you take heed to the example and learn from the example, and then mistakes become a stepping stone for us, then we wouldn't have to fall into the same mistake and say, well, look, this one do it, so if I do that, I know different. No, no. But I'm saying, let my mistakes be a stepping stone, we don't have something like that. And after he slew them with a sword, and also some of the princes of Israel. Jehoram was 32 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. And remember, this is a child. All that he's going to be, he learned that in the first 7 years right here.
Yes, sir.
What influence put in the first 7 years of his life right here? So, things when things have come out later on, it was whether the watchfulness in raising them, and when we need to be a shield for them, we in a position to be a shield. That's why you can't put them in a daycare center and a babysitter. That wasn't God's way. So the wife could hold on a job so we could live in a certain place and have a certain lifestyle. Because sometimes you have to be a shield for them. And when instead of you being the shield for them, somebody get them a lollipop 2 o'clock in the afternoon, put their head on their desk and sleep. You know, when the time comes, pack up their school bag and their lunch kit, and when their mother shop after work, they send them out, or they get them out in the collar at the side. So that's the way for God to raise them, you know. Modern civilization pushes us in the air. When it pushes us in the air, it paralyzes the word of God from having its effect inside of us. And then when we come up to the promises of God, we have all kinds of situations that Satan has used to bring condemnation and paralyze our faith, that we can't claim the promises of God. Because he has shown us all the defects. Why? He used civilization to destroy these things in us. And that's what I'm saying. The priority in some of these things, we have to be very careful of what is important for us. Because let me tell you, if we come into the covenant of the Lord, we have to know exactly what is important, what is not important. We have to know what is valuable, what is not valuable. We don't choose our trials and our testings. We pass certain places in life, and we have to just face it. But if when we walk with God in a certain way, and we are confronted with these things, we will be equipped and fortified to face it. Look at verse 3 about him here. He walked in the way of the kings of Israel, as did the house of Ahab. For he had the daughter of Ahab as his wife, and he wrought that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord. Howbeit the Lord would not destroy the house of David, because the covenant that he had made with David, as he promised to give a life to him and to his sons forever.
He married into a family where the mother-in-law used to rule the father-in-law, because Jezebel was Ahab's wife, and he gets Ahab's daughter to that Tarea for his wife. Because another scripture tells you where the house of Ahab was his counselors to kill the brothers, because they wanted to come in and control that family inheritance. Sometimes when people marry people, they just iron boy and girl, you know, they iron family property too. And that's why I can show up in the Bible. 3-4 places. And that is why sometimes the tutorship, the influence, you know how he gets to that here? His father was a compromiser too. His father could have been talking to all kind of things. And Ahab talking his father into coming together to go to take Ramoth Gilead. And his father get a after 400 prophets prophesy with one voice, and he gets suspicious, and he says, let the next one come, and the next one come, and talk the truth. It never stopped his father, because his father was so easily pressured and influenced, and the father didn't see his weakness, how he influenced his son. And then how his son get influenced and manipulated by the others, even to destroy all his brothers and them. And then the end, Tyre become queen over Judah, and Judah come with the same idolatry like Israel had. Because parents wasn't strong enough to handle the children, to put the right example for them, and put up a kind of influence there. And then at times, even the falsehood looking like a good opportunity for the boy. Well, after all, it might unite the kingdom. After all, we might get that too. See? Don't be victims of these kind of things, because the message comes to give us a character and a strength. And if our child has to live in a little place there, and you know somebody like a child, he say, Bill, he say, I know you have no money. I know the Branham or the Paulie, who has a moonshine. He say, but I see something in you, son. The man wasn't saying, I give my prophet a Malachi 4:5, you know. He's going to pill up over the man's head, you know. That didn't happen yet, you know. He knows that this is a young boy, have good intentions, but he has no education. See? If the man says, my daughter, I didn't see high school. I am Mr. Brumbrock. Look at the kind of house I have in the neighborhood I live in. He said, your father, your mother, father married mother 15 years old, had you. All this got a little lock cabinet, one window, inside it. He said, I give my girl to you. You crazy or what? You can make sure of it. He said, no. He went up to that man's house, knocked on the man's door, talked to him. He said, Charlie. He said, you know, I love hope and hope loves me. He said, I can't provide you the things you provide, Charlie. So I'll try my best to give her the best life I could. I'll work my fingers to the bone. See? He said, you can have a bill. He went and got an old stove painted up, got a second hand chair, got an old stove, a steel brush, get the rust off it, painted up, fixed up. They transform a little one room apartment into a little Eden. They feel like Adam and Eve, two love birds in a nest. You know what I'm saying? Some of us today will never let a child marry somebody poor. Some of them don't know what they have, where the father is, because
We think that kind of compliment. Well, when Jehoram was going to marry Athaliah, you know he's going to get involved in. And when Ahab was compromising and playing politics and getting wine and dine and being pulled into different things and pressured into different things and carry children and getting children mixed up in something, he didn't see the future of where he's taking children to. And sometimes people's children become pawns in a game that they want to play. What are you talking about? The power of parental influence. Look at Abraham with the same influence over Isaac. And he didn't have to choke him and tie him up. But the boy was submissive and obedient to his father. Look at Jephthah's daughter. She said, "Daddy, you make that vow to God? I got to stay a virgin of my life? Daddy, I am submissive to you. I never got the plan. I know your will for me. I accept it better than my own personal judgment. I'll confess to you, a man of God, Daddy." Influence, parental influence, the power of parental influence. Maybe go two more. It's just one passage. And we close it up. I want to give you some food for thought. Matthew 14. We have to be careful to put before children. We have to know our lifestyle, our values, our conversation, our transparency before them. That at all times we are setting up the right influence and the right example. You have to know, just like God, sin and the sinner. That we might make a stand against our children's sin or their behavior, but we stand for our children. When you can separate the sin from the sinner, you condemn your own children and you push them further from you. Because some of us want a crib that we mustn't clean. He said, "There's an ox in the stable. Expect the ox to clean." You have children, if you're raising children, expect you'll deal with problems. In God's church, heaven, there was sin. In God's Eden, there was sin. In God's church, there is sin. The Bible don't have a picture of something without sin outside of this civilization. Where they get that is in heaven. Even the millennium of sin will be subject. And it's strange to see people get that revelation. Oh, so super righteous. They get a problem. With a fault, somebody with a fault, some sin or something. And you say, "What is the matter with you? You're on earth? Where are you living?" In sin starts in heaven. Sin was in the Garden of Eden. Sin was in the church. Jesus said, "The church is a field with wheat and tares." He said, "A house with all kinds of vessels." Yes, sir. There's no picture in the Bible of the church. They even had to make the bread with leaven and burn with fire. Type in Pentecost when the Holy Ghost came. Yet you see people claim to know God, be super righteous, and they get in the seat of the scornful. When the Bible says, "You are without sin, you are lying if you love me." See? It can be a place. We want a blood sacrifice for us, and we don't want to be children. When your job really was to have a token for them, especially if you know they have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And when you want to get them to live a Christian as well as the Holy Ghost, it shows your ignorance. Amen. Because what is the condemning them for not living the life when they don't have the Holy Ghost? And then there is no effort being made by you to lead them into the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because if you really have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you will not condemn them for not having the baptism of the Holy Ghost. sure. And that's why sometimes you see some of those children around the church and you get inside and talk to them. It is difficult to deal with, you know why? Sometimes you're going to talk to them, suddenly come, the parent is at fault. And you dare not tell the child your father wrong or your mother wrong. And that is why we have meetings like these to deal with so many things on a parental level. How? Because some of those sensitive things, it's best the parent itself deal with it. Because that minister go to deal with it. And you start to go down the word and they start to talk things and it come out and the thing happens with the parent. You can't put the child against the parent. You don't want to do that. You're dividing the home. You know what I'm saying? And that's what will make it sensitive. So now you tell the child, go to the deacon or go to this one, not knowing. When the real thing come out and the thing is analyzed and the responsibility has to be attributed, well, it's not just on the child, it's not just the person who do the thing means that who pull the trigger is the guilty one. Justice is not so, you know.
Amen.
The person who look at it, you have the gun in your hand. But this one working the will through that one, because if you want to weaken, we manipulate by this one.
Yes, sir.
And this is come a victim of this one. Influence.
Amen.
And that's why when you look at things, we don't want to look against ourselves. And that's what I'm saying. I'm glad we even have this meeting first. Because when you get there, sometimes things come out, children, and tell the parents that. And they're having this problem, and they're having this problem. And it's difficult. And then sometimes when they tell other people, which is bad too, sometimes the other people show them love, so they go to other people for help. They have the more spiritual than the child parent. Sometimes, when you have the opportunity to help the other parent, redeem back the child. And help show the child they need to be close to the parent. If you can handle some of them things, you kind of make things worse. When the real objective is to unite the family and heal the home. That's why not everybody can deal with problems. Because it gets sensitive. And it could do more harm than good. Because remember the lies that you do? Look at this. Let's start with you. The last one will be. Verse 3, Matthew 14. For Herod has laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother's wife, Philip's wife. For John said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her. And when he would not put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever he would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, here's a young teenage girl, nice, well shaped, have a nice anatomy, do a very seductive dance in a party before all the drunken people, arouse the passions and the senses of all those who are already intoxicated under the influence of alcohol. And the mother, who was an adulteress, who never knew what it is to raise a family the right way, who had broken her marriage vow. Because remember, Herod had his brother wife, Philip's wife. And remember, now she's trying to get back against John the Baptist for preaching about marriage and divorce. But she was a divorcee. She was one of feminists. That there was no man going to control her life. She was one of the kind of independent kind of people with the modern kind of thinking. And she was going to get rid of any man standing in her way, trying to stop she from having what she wanted. And she had a young girl who, instead of she learned to sew and bake cake, learned to do them vulgar dance. Because that is the kind the mother always a party in she house. She always entertaining men friends. She always throwing some kind of business. She always taking up some soap opera. She always feeding some gossip column or something. And sometimes people doesn't realize the power of the influence on the children. You mean a mother to tell her daughter to ask her a prophet of God here, a man be murdered on a platter, and you say, yes, ma'am, right away. No resistance. The power of the influence. Now, if parents could have such a powerful influence, were designed to have that power and degree of influence of the children, think of it if it was right. Think of it if it was right. That's the capability that every parent has upon a child. And they can use it for good or evil. Do we want to use our influence to its full potential? Can we meditate on these things? I'll give you quite a few examples in the scriptures tonight. How young people and their parents walking the ways of their father, walking the ways of their mother, walking the ways of the counselor of people they yield, mother-in-law and father-in-law, different things, of weakness in parents, of situations people find themselves in. When the prophet says, you can go and say, Satan, give up my daughter, give up my son in a wrong relationship. What is he saying? A parent will have that power of influence. And a parent can stand and plead back before God and demand the devil give it up. And a parent will expect to have the devil release that child. He said, that's the position of a parent. Can a parent see the authority invested in the office of parenthood? In a family dedicated to God, into that family may suffer loss at certain times. Can parents be motivated, or can parents just give up and get discouraged and feel they lost their children? I lost my child. You know, no parent just feel they're going to lose that child between 1 to 12. Because all that time, they say, come here, the child come. They say, go here, the child go. You know, it's when they feel they're losing that child. Or when they say danger they put their child, when that child comes a teenage. In other words, they could work with the child when the child would think for itself. Like Rover, Fido. Fido, come here, come here. Rover, go here. Bring this boat, Rover. Parent into them is a kind of instruction role. When the child comes to an age and got to think for itself, I know you now have to get in there and deal with things and fellowship and get in there and befriend them and win them and have observation of early signs when they're withdrawing, when they get in a complex, when they're drifting away, have some discernment, have to be willing to restructure things. It's a challenge, yeah? I'm not saying it's easy, though. Neither am I standing here and saying I have it right. I mean, the word right. I myself have to take this word out to win my cause too. But neither am I trying to tell you, I'm saying, are we as parents just to roll over and die? You got a problem here? Are we as parents to walk with a paralyzed vision as to if our children get messed up because we fail and we let down the bars and we work the defense for them and we let the enemy come in there? Can we be motivated? Can we rise with it? Can we understand what the word is about us? Can we see the magnitude of the influence that God gives to a parent over the child that they give birth to? Can we catch that from the word? Can we see these things are scriptural as I'm bringing to you? Just as any other thing, water baptism, God has submitted to the scripture. Can we see these things are also scriptural? Can we even judge our own selves to the point to say, because of lack of these things, and exercise and adhering to these things, is why we become weak and we allow all kinds of things to go on in our own homes, split up from the church, and since you can't deal with it, you leave it up to somebody to deal with it. For you to sit and say amen and back up somebody, blasting that thing off your child, or blasting, which will help your child better? Not if you talk to them. And if you can't talk to them, and then you should need to get somebody that can talk to them at the stage where you sort of observe the withdrawal. Wouldn't that be better? No, answer. Wouldn't that be better? Remember, this is not. We are here in the church. We are the church, or we are trying to rise up higher. I preach to you other kind of messages. I'm preaching this kind too, because this kind is needed. I'm having a meeting with single sister by herself, because that is needed. I'm having a single brother, because that is needed. I'm having a man, because that is needed. We are meeting the community, the people, because that is needed. What are we doing all this for? Because we know these are areas that affect us, that is among us, that we can close our eye to, that we have to find the answer in the Word to deal with it. We have to learn to work with the Word, we have to address these things. I don't want to be one saying, boy, you got polio, this man got polio, you got a club foot, woo, you got him crippled. No, and polio ain't been bad now. You know what statistics now? It's 10,000 that gone through a polio now. No, I would be like, so. If that polio must have something to cripple that thing, to kill that thing, must have something to stop the thing. I want to get in the laboratory, I want to find it, I want to come with the antidote and say, polio is going to be removed. I think when Moses see people was dying, Moses is going to say, man, they deserve that, man. They hardened, I can't talk to them. No. Moses went to God and get something, get come with a brass serpent. You can imagine Moses coming that morning to church, walking with a brass serpent, knowing that the day everybody could take the instruction and look and live, but they can't make dead man in this camp. That death had to be conquered here today. Amen. I think that's the attitude you want to take. Amen. If you don't have the problem, then you help somebody who have the problem. Then you should have prayer for those who have the problem. That's what it is. If you chase it to go forward. Even Paul telling Timothy, he says, a child does learn the scriptures. He said, it will make you wise in the salvation. He said, I remember your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice.
Yes,
he said, that's something in your family coming down, and how they even raise you. And by the laying on of hands and prophecy, they knew that in you that faith was in your grandmother and your mother coming down in you too.
Yes,
what was godly influence in the family?
Grandmother,
raise your daughter a certain way. Daughter have a son, raise his son a certain way. Here's a messenger of the age. Man who will be a man who went to heaven, sit your office, man who come back, man who became God, man with discernment. Stand there and look into the boy heart. And could tell him, he says, this thing is new. It comes from generations coming down.
Yes.
Because there was something that your family caught generations back and understood about a heritage that will come down from one to the next. How they live their life, your works follow them and their blessing come down. He said, this is that with you, not because you, this is way back there coming down. The power of parental influence. As we see the capability of these things tonight from the Word of God. If it's the Word of God, you have a place to rest your faith. If it's the Word of God, it's a seed. If you plant it, it's a bring forth its kind. If it's the Word of God, it's designed to let loose of power to give you strength. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. Somebody you're going to work with that can change the situation. Because the Word of God, you want to see people get healed, the prophet said, do what? Find the scriptures that pertain to healing, preach it. You want to get the Holy Ghost? Find the scripture that pertain to the Holy Ghost, preach it, create an atmosphere of it, set the mind and the spirit and the attitude in that child is going to happen. You want to see victory in these areas? We're going to do. Find the scriptures that pertain to these things. Preach it. Create an atmosphere. Set the people heart and mind, attitude in that channel to work with the Word. You're going to bring the result. That is the law of God.
Yes, sir.
So here tonight, God being gracious, even to equip us and give us some laws and some principles. We can take it and mix with faith. You know something? It can help us much. You feel encouraged?
Yes,
you feel you're getting weaponry to go and fight the battle?
Amen.
You feel your purpose in your heart and you want to strengthen yourself? And as we close this evening, we say, Father, I know these things, but it's like I've forgotten it. It's like I didn't pay attention to these things as I should. But just seeing it focused to one place tonight, concentrated. Not only am I want to do it for my own household, but to every young man and every young woman in the crossroads of life, that I could be a godly influence to. But when I see them, I won't be distancing myself from them. I will have a word in season for them. I will have encouragement. I will know to have them. Because in my own home and my own family, that's my training ground. And when I practice the word and I see it work and get results, then the token will help first. Then you can cover others after. Because if it don't work for you, what are you going to try to do? And that's why, by the grace of God, it's a challenge to accept. It's a faith to rise into. It's a place to walk with God. It's a conviction to say, look at us, we're living in sin. Look at us, we're drunk and smoking cigarettes and all these things. We're cursing. Our lives is not just wasted, and this common yet. No, we are Christians, we love God, we love the message. But when you look at these areas, we see there is so much more. It's not just about coming to church and saying, boy, the open dynamics is here, all these things. No, you have to come down on these things. Is these things in us? When the carriage is shaking, is these places bold enough, or is it rattling? May God give us the strength tonight. May we feel the motivation tonight. May we make a conviction entertained tonight by the grace of God. I believe God will help you. I believe He'll help every one of us. I believe He'll help this church. If we, the parents, on a parental level here tonight, can begin to recognize some of our responsibility, then if we can begin to arm ourselves with the mind of Christ, with the word of God, and we begin to interact even with the younger ones, and begin to let loose the revelation, the influence that affect them, then we can see an influence that pull many who is drifting back. It will help elevate them to higher standards. It will help them set the priorities right. It will help them learn and appreciate the value of a dedicated, consecrated life. We'll be able to lead them into these things. We'll be walking around with a big stick, just trying to criticize, just trying to condemn, like some Armenian who don't have a revelation and want everybody to fall at your feet and bow. Somebody needs to sit down. You say, come, let us reason together. That's what God said to us. Come, let us reason together. Though you see there's time to be white as snow. See? And sometimes, like God tells you, go to the Lord like a man, let me talk to you. And God begin to ask him. And God begin to go to a brainstorm with him. He said, tell me, who put the mask right there? Tell me when you speak in front of the place. Tell me who sit around. Tell me about the winds and the waves. Tell me how these things work. What does God do that for? It was to wake him up. To realize how he had his own little concept, dropped down his own little world and tried to look at these things and failed to see a sovereign God who has all right to rule his universe the way he sees it.
Hallelujah.
That's the way we want to be, friends. Let's grow in the world tonight. Let's mature. Let's be real Christians. Let these solid believers in the assembly. Let these people just walk in here and walk out. Let these solid people with conviction. Then when we see somebody hurting, somebody with a problem, we can put our arm around them, we can draw the word, we can pray with them. They can feel love coming out of us. That they don't feel somebody scorning them, criticizing them, watching them, despising them, looking at them, whispering about them, back in here. No. When somebody falls over there, you want to know, I can get my knees to that person, I can reach you, because that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. And may God help us that we can have the victory. And the light of Jesus Christ will shine in this church, in you and me like never before. And God can raise a real standard and give a real witness in this hour. Let us bow our heads. Thank you. Father, tonight, dear God, sitting around your word, sitting in your presence, looking at the power of godly influence, seeing, oh God, the negative side, seeing the positive side, seeing the magnitude of that influence that you give to one who is a parent, and how they can exert that influence, and what kind of example and image that they can set up, and what kind of footprints they can leave in this sense of time for others to follow. We think of the story, the prophet of one of young boy following his daddy who was drunk that night. That Christmas time, going home, wobbling in the snow, wagging from side to side. And then the father turned around and began to castigate the boy for not being able to follow quickly and lagging far behind. But the boy was having great difficulty in trying to follow the footprints the father had left. Then he said, "Daddy, I'm only trying to follow your footprints." How it broke the father's heart. It wake him up. That was his wake-up call to realize it wasn't the fate of the boy, but the type of influence the father set before the boy. Because children, by nature, they are made to look towards the one that brought them into this world, to draw from them, to be influenced by them. And Father, if we realize that tonight, then we know that no matter what the circumstances, if we can change, if we are willing to change and pay the price, and to walk where you want us to walk, and to live how you want us to live, our influence can become a stronger influence. Maybe because of the weakness of our influence, it is not able to redeem or to influence our children away from the influence many times that is pulling them, Lord. They got a tug of war sometimes. The devil competing for the mind while we are competing for the minds also. And sometimes that stronger influence, and because of a lack of discernment of the environment that they have to be in, the things they have to be exposed to, and then we feel disappointed because they fail. Yet many times we fail to analyze our own selves to see if we have prepared them to be able to face with that environment. Sometimes it shows the lack of our understanding of what exists in that environment. And many times the children who are sheltered and protected, grow up soft, is unable to deal with the pressures and the influences and the things they get exposed to there. It plants in the subconscious mind, it bothers them, it worries them. Sometimes they don't even know their God, that they are not at fault. They feel condemned, they feel afraid, even to tell it to the parents and everything else. And a wall is erected, a barrier is set up, communication is cut off, and then they drift further away. Lord, make us more sensitive parents than that. Give us deeper insight, Father. Wake us up to the realization of these things. How to work with these things, dear God. Lord, may you teach us and show us. May you equip us, Father. May you help us, oh God, that we can truly carry this burden, this responsibility. We know we have failed in so many places. We have done wrong. We have set up wrong example and everything else. Forgive us tonight, Father. May we not be here to point at one another or think we are better than one another. May we stand together as parents, united together in heart and purpose. That because we parents will take every young child as their own and will be willing to express fatherhood and motherhood. And a godly influence to help that child that needs a parent to guide them and to influence them the right way. Lord, give us the strategy. Develop the equipment within us. Arm us, dear God. Make us strong, Father. Give us the wisdom how to use these things. The weapons of our warfare and the color. We can be mighty to be put in our strongholds. Dear God, we can go into this campaign and wage a war and win back everyone that has been drifting away, that has lost, that has been weakened, that has been sidestepped, dear God. Father, even a parental level, wherever the parents are failing to, may we even be ready to give us support. Lend a helping hand. Lord God, be a godly influence and a form of encouragement the fellow father, the fellow mother. Oh God, knowing what they have to face, because we walk in the same shoes, we live in the same age. The children face the same kind of circumstances. Sometimes some of them privileged as others. Sometimes some is more sheltered and protected. Sometimes some face harsher conditions, Lord, that are weakening them. Sometimes some is under pressure, frustrations, because they cannot provide as they should. Oh God, but you've given us a word by the mouth of a prophet. You've given us a message, dear God, that is able to empower us. And your Holy Spirit, your presence, that is here to work in that message, Lord, to build us up, that we might overcome the evils of this age, that we might stand victorious in the end, Lord. You can say, well done, my good and faithful parents. I gave you a vocation. You did walk worthy of it. You stood, you fought the battles. You came up with them children delivered. Oh God, you reflected me. When I went to God for mine in the Garden of Eden, when I was willing to pay the price, when I died for mine while they were yet sinners, when I came down, gave up my throne, took a shepherd's staff, come and became sin to deliver mine. Truly, you are strange. You of the great care. You are reflecting me. I've seen the same attribute in you. How we like to hear that, Father. How, oh God, we pray tonight. If you're ready to leave this place, to return to our homes, these things, Lord, with stillness, it would be so deep in our hearts, it would be water, Father. And you would continue to give us services, Lord. The portion of word that we would need. And that you would enlighten us sufficient. And you would teach us. And you would have faith to exercise in these things. And you would work with us as we work with you, Lord. To see the results follow. And that would be to your honor, to your glory. Oh, precious Jesus, may you grant that tonight. May you inspire and motivate and strengthen every one of the children standing here, them, Lord, who are not here and would hear the tape. They would serve to be a blessing to them also. We desire to be the right kind of people, Father. The right reflection, the right representation. A church that people can come and walk into and say, surely the presence of God is here. Surely these are godly people. Surely they are after God's kind. May you grant it, O God. We commit each and every one to your hands. And we leave. Take us in peace and safety and have us, Father. We thank you, dear God. We should be feeling blessed by being here tonight. And your presence here among us, Lord. We appreciate it tonight, Father. Oh, we exalt your mighty name. We lift our hands, Lord, to give honor and glory, to express our gratitude, our thanks, to say thank you, Jesus, oh God, for our word in season. Lord God, for your presence, for your power. That is available to us. And oh God, together we can be yoked together and work together, Father. And see victory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Glorified and be admired in all your children, Father. See the devil's power and influence be broken. And to see this church rise in high ground is our prayer. We thank you for it, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you. Amen. God bless my brother and sister. I want to stand and support with you that together we'll fight this fight, that we'll work together, we'll stand together. Amen. And may God give us victory together. And the same thing I desire for my home, I desire for your home. Amen. Love one another as you love yourself, the Bible says. Lord, unto you will I cry. Let him be your hope. Let him be your inspiration. See him, the great parent. We are his offspring. We are part of a new creation. Let his life influence us. Amen. You are the rock.
You are the rock.
Amen. You are my hope, my inspiration. Lord, unto you will I cry. I believe in you. I believe in you. Be my help in time of need. Would you please be your help tonight in your time of need? Lord, unto you will I plead. Oh, you are the rock. My salvation. God, we should bless you. Strengthen you, inspire, and give you overcoming power. See the very desire of your heart. He made manifest. And you and your offspring will sit in your own vine and your own tree and worship God together.